Welcome to Podcasts at Boatwright. I'm Linda Fairchild, the head of Parsons Music Library, and today I'll be talking with Mike Davison, professor of music. Dr. Davison has created a documentary film called Cuba, Rhythm in Motion, based on his numerous visits to that country. This exciting film presents the genealogy of shared musical rhythms between Cuba and the United States, tracing the history of Cuban music and its blending with American jazz and popular music starting in the mid-19th century. Thank you, Mike, for joining us today.
Great to be here, Linda. Thank you.
What first inspired you to conduct research on this particular topic?
It all began in the mid-70s. I was an undergraduate in New York and got a call, and the person said, hey, we need a trumpeter to play salsa. And I wanted to act cool, so I said, sure, even though I didn't really know what salsa was. I thought maybe it was a sauce, but it turned out to be music that is directly related to the rhythms of Cuba. So I went to the gig, and I was infatuated. All music is divided into threes and twos, and I thought I had it together since I was at a conservatory, and I was just baffled by how simplistic the music was, but I didn't know when to come in because of the arrangements of the rhythms between the bass and the piano and so forth. So I was kind of both pleased and puzzled by this music, and thought it best to try to play. I've been trying to do that ever since. And at University of Richmond has given me the opportunity to teach it. So I've since traveled there and found it even more fascinating.
And now you want to share that with us.
Mm-hmm.
So how did students contribute to the development of your film?
This is a very interesting topic, since the politics of between Cuba and America are very well known, since the Cuban Missile Crisis and the embargo. And they call it the blockade. We haven't traded much with Cuba for many, many, many years. So I started taking students to Cuba in 2000 and took my musicians here, my student musicians and other people. And in 2004, our government cut it off. We couldn't take them anymore. So it has been difficult to get them involved in the project, but I've always had them on board for the pre and the post production. So this, at University of Richmond, what I did was I started a class called Cuba, called Salsa Meets Jazz, and then another course that I put together to produce a multimedia event called the Cuban Spectacular. And these classes actually were a testing ground for all my video. The students viewed the video that I took in Cuba, viewed the sounds and discussed Cuba, and I was able to get from them a sense of what was important to them and what was going to eventually turn out to be in the documentary. Specifically, there were a few students who engaged in what they call logging and capturing. We went to Cuba and filmed a lot, everything from flamenco to the orchestra to son dance to rumba to street to baseball games. And the process involves taking this media and changing it into accessible working programs, so turn them into QuickTime files. And the students did that, and in doing so they labeled them. I taught them about the music and the culture and Cuba, and they helped in the pre-production of the documentary and, of course, in running this Cuban Spectacular show, which had their videos in it, actually their edited videos and live performance.
Didn't they do something with album covers, too? I think I remember you telling me.
Yes, thank you. We realized that we're talking about Cuba from the middle of the 19th century, and we don't have a lot of pictures from then. So what we did is we established relationships with University of Miami and Florida International University, and we went down with five students, this was the same class that was involved in logging and capturing, and went to these archives in both universities and took pictures and organized, made lists of what they had and used a lot of those in the documentary.
That's fantastic. And how can the University of Richmond community use your film to address various social issues on campus?
Well, it's interesting. I feel that one of the attractions for me by performing jazz was that I feel jazz, out of many musics, is very colorblind. Benny Goodman was the first to hire an African-American on his bandstand much before classical composers or classical groups did. And in Cuba, it's much the same way. If you think about a Cuban group, they have every color, creed, shape, gender in the groups. And the interesting thing about their triumvirate of main percussion, which is the timbales, the bongos, and the congas, the timbales, or they call them pailas, are a descendant of the European timpani. The congas are basically African drums that they've changed a bit, and the bongos are Cuban. So the front line of main percussion are almost as diverse as the people who are playing them.
Hmm. And how would you envision undergraduate students using the film for their study and their research?
Well, again, if you ever read a book and you get to the end and you don't want it to end, that's what the story of Cuba is about. I came at it from the music, and the music continues to evolve. They have 24 different musical genres, different styles, different folk styles. We have about, I'd say, 8. We've got ragtime, and we've got hip hop, and we've got jazz, and they've got 24, 25 of these. And all their music has affected all the music in the Western Hemisphere. So on face value, the students can learn about all the music in the Western Hemisphere by studying Cuban music. The clave, which is a Cuban rhythm, is the bass drum in our rock and roll. They called it the Bodiddley beat. Bernstein used it in West Side Story. They used it in jazz, and the hits keep on coming. On a deeper level, what we try to do in our courses here is get them to question themselves and to try to get rid of their prejudices. And dealing with Cuba, already they're dealing with their prejudice towards Cuba. It's kind of like when I was growing up in the Cold War. We happened to not like Russians. We didn't even know where it was and who they were, but we were supposed to not like them. And the same thing with Cubans, who are under this strange thought that Cubans are bad. By seeing the video, by working through the music, by discussing how the music evolves, which involves many different kinds of people and musics, hopefully they'll handle and deal with their own prejudices in a way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now you're teaching your salsa course again in the fall, right?
Yes, I was lucky to get accepted into the Sophomore Scholars in Residence Living and Learning Program. And I'm very excited because I'll be doing all this Cuba stuff, but I'll have somebody who will help me, meaning Andy Gurka and Rick Mays and Kay McDonald, who's a secretary. Somebody's going to be on my side helping me, and we'll have a budget for this. And if Cuba opens up, which there's a chance it might, but of course I've been saying that for a few years, I'll take the students to Cuba between semesters probably.
Great, sounds exciting. And how did Library Services support you in creating this film?
Well, you know, the University of Richmond really owns the film. They've supported my travels. And everything that we did with the documentary was done, almost all of it was done in the Technology Learning Center with Hill Scott at our side. You know, we like to think that we're pretty good at what we do, but we need somebody like Hill who can troubleshoot and give us space and be very pleasant in terms of working with us. So suffice it to say, without the TLC and Hill, we could have not done this documentary. Myself and Ed Tillett, who produced it and did all the work with me, we did it on no budget. So we produced, we wrote, we directed, we researched, we filmed, all on a negative budget.
Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Davison, for sharing your thoughts with us. A DVD of Cuba, Rhythm in Motion, is available for borrowing from Parsons Music Library.
Thank you, Linda.
You've been listening to Podcasts at Boatwright. Our host was Dr. Linda Fairchild. Our guest was Dr. Mike Davidson. Podcast editing and production was performed by Andy Morton. Visit Boatwright Library on the web at library.richmond.edu.